Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Each week I try to bring you information from the world of agricultural marketing, including interviews with industry leaders. This week, though, you're just going to get Cindy and me, but I think you'll find it interesting. Let's take a few minutes to look at some new data on media and internet use here in America. To start with, the Pew Internet and American Life Project just announced the results of their study of internet penetration and use. The study was conducted between February and April of this year. They found that internet use is at an all-time high. 73% of respondents, or they equate that to about 147 million adults, are internet users. That's up from 66% in their January 05 survey. That's a 13% increase in just 1 year. And the share of Americans who have broadband connections, high-speed internet access, at home has now reached 42%. That's up from 29% in January of 05, and that's also a 13% increase. We know that about 25% of farmers with incomes over $100,000 have broadband, and the number goes higher as their income increases. So we definitely want to look at this from an agricultural perspective, and especially as it relates to farmers. That information about farmer broadband access comes from a USDA study that's probably at this point a little over a year old. So I think it's reasonable to think that that number has increased with the continued push to develop rural broadband access. And I hope all of us in ag communications are willing to accept the fact that farmers are consumers, just like the rest of us. In fact, I dare say they're much more tech-savvy than the general public. And as one NAFB farm broadcaster who podcasts wrote in a comment on AgWired this week, they pilot $200,000 combines with $60,000 guidance systems, for crying out loud. You don't think they can manage an iPod? Well, yes, I do, Andy, and good point. I think this continued fast-paced growth of internet use means that we're going to continue to see farmers adopt new media technology as they obtain high-speed internet access and new media information becomes available to them. I think we're also going to see the traditional media folks who don't want to change try to downplay this shift. Let's take an example. The latest National Association of Farm Broadcasters Farmer Media Use Study. I don't have the whole report, just some summary points that they provided in their latest eChats newsletter. In it, they claim that the percentage of farmers who use an iPod or some sort of digital audio device is less than 5%, and that farmers downloading audio from the internet is almost non-existent. That's pretty vague, if you ask me. Instead of pointing out that this is positive growth from nothing, and that's just less than 5 years ago when the first iPod was introduced, it's, I think, a spin that makes it look like farmers aren't adopting and adapting to the new media world. And this is understandable, since the majority of NAFB members haven't even begun adopting new media technologies themselves yet. However, a few brave souls have. For example, we're in the process of developing blogs for two NAFB members, and I know of at least two besides myself who are also doing podcasts. Let's also keep in mind that a year ago, when this podcast got started, there was only one other ag-related podcast in iTunes. I just did a keyword search in iTunes for podcasts with the word agriculture, and I found 44 of them. And you'll find more if you use other keywords that are ag-related to search for podcasts in iTunes. I think there's a real fear in the traditional media today about what will happen during this time of media change. The reality is that agribusiness companies and organizations can use the same tools that I'm using to create their own radio and TV shows. The upfront investment is minimal, and the audience is only the people you want to reach. There's basically no waste. But not everyone wants to do it, and not everyone can create an interesting and meaningful program or write frequently and say something that people will want to read. Traditional, successful media reporters are, I think, in a great position to capitalize on their audience if they're willing to make that change. If you're interested in learning more about how to blog or podcast, you can, of course, hire the Zimcom New Media Professionals, but you might also want to visit AgWired, at agwire.com or our new company blog at zimcom.biz and look at the articles that I've written on these subjects. They contain many links to other resources. And additionally, each site has a list of resource links in the sidebar that I would also encourage you to look at. So let's move on to some other stuff. I asked Cindy to give me a summary of some of the work she's doing on our domestic fuel website, which you'll find at domesticfuel.com. I think you might find this interesting. Alternative energy news and information is certainly of interest to farmers today, and not just corn and soybean growers. You can make ethanol, for example, out of just about anything, and people are trying lots of different products. We'll have a story on about how dairy farmers are getting involved. To learn more about that, you'll just have to go to the site to see it. In addition to her work on domestic fuel, Cindy also provides some information on other audio production work we've been involved in that you may want to consider having us do for you.
The Domestic Fuel blog continues to experience explosive growth in readership, coming up just short of 7,000 unique visitors in April and more than 150,000 hits. While the blog is a good news source for the industry, it's also a way to get the gospel of domestic fuels out to the general public, to give them an alternative news source for in-depth information about ethanol, biodiesel, and more. For instance, I covered the Senate Ag Committee hearing last week on the future of biofuels, recording the entire two-hour-plus meeting. I've been editing out bits and pieces to use on the blog, giving people a lot more than they can get from a news story in the paper or on TV or radio. I've also provided sound from the recent Truth About Ethanol conference call, featuring officials from the American Farm Bureau, the Renewable Fuels Association, and the National Corn Growers. Having the ability to record and edit easily on the computer, I think, is the best invention for broadcasting since the microphone. It constantly amazes me just how far we've come in 25 years since I was in college at the University of Florida learning broadcasting, and we had to edit reel-to-reel tape using a razor blade and tape. I think it's amazing. We do quite a bit of audio production here at ZimCom. In addition to our weekly ZimCast, the Ethanol Promotion and Information Council Philip Feel Good podcast, and weekly reports for the Missouri Beef Industry Council. For example, I also do programming for Southeast AgNet on a daily basis. From the Southeast AgNet, Florida Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Rod Smith is hopeful that agriculture will get some tax breaks by the end of this legislative session. One of the bills he's sponsoring would provide for obsolete farm equipment to be assessed at its salvage value.
The reality is they're paying taxes on some other evaluation because by now it's laying in the weeds. This is really just a step in the point of saying you ought to pay taxes on the agricultural equipment that you are actively using, and that which has become obsolete ought to be treated as such.
The bill passed the Senate unanimously this week. The end of the legislative session is a week from today. I'm Cindy Zimmerman, Southeast AgNet. I've also been doing interviews lately, this year and last year, actually, for Monsanto through Osborne and Barr, for radio stations and networks to air along with advertising buys. And this is something that we think has a great application for agencies and companies who want value added for their advertising. But instead of having the broadcasters each do individual interviews with an expert or a farmer, you just do one interview that can be sent by MP3 file to the broadcasters, and they can use it however they see fit. By doing just one interview, the message is the same, and it saves time for the broadcasters and the interviewees. So I guess the message is, think of us if you need some audio production done.
Thanks, Cindy. And also related to domestic fuel, I'm going to be covering the Clean Cities Congress, which is in Phoenix, Arizona, starting this weekend. That's being put on by the Alternative Fuel Vehicle Institute, and I'm going to have help blogging this one. Two students will be guest blogging on domestic fuel, and I'll be announcing them this week, and they'll begin posting this weekend, so keep an eye out for them. This is like what we did working with Monsanto during Commodity Classic with guest student bloggers Margie and Mary. In the month of April, it was basically a record month for two of our blogs. Ag Wired had almost 6,000 unique visitors. They visited about 13,000 times and did 60,000 page views. That's significantly up from March, which was also a record month. In fact, we've basically been breaking traffic records every month since the site was started in March of 2005. Our domestic fuel site had, as Cindy mentioned, almost 7,000 unique visitors, and our World Dairy Diary site had just a little under 2,000 visitors. We relaunched that site in late January, and traffic for it has been growing back from the highs that it had during World Dairy Expo last fall when it was, as I like to say, just an event blog at the time. But we had close to 6,000 visitors at that time. We just didn't post anything for several months until we decided to relaunch it. I'll conclude today by one other announcement, and that is that we're now accepting advertising for not only this Zimcast podcast, but on our news blogs. That's AgWired, Domestic Fuel, and World Dairy Diary. I'll be posting rate cards this week, so please let me know if you're interested. I've been offered some pay-per-click programs, but I just don't want to get involved with them. Besides, we kind of give up control over what ads show up on the site, for example, and I'd want to be more selective than that and make sure that what we do put on is applicable to you. Well, that's all for the Zimcast this week. Remember to visit AgWired often, tell your friends and neighbors, or you can use our RSS feed to subscribe to it and have your computer do the work for you. I recommend NewsGator as a simple newsreader program to do this with. You can find that at newsgator.com. Call or email me if you have any trouble. And thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.